Malta, strategically located at the heart of the Mediterranean, is a leading maritime hub and service center. An island nation with a vibrant maritime tradition, barely 6 nautical miles off the main Mediterranean sea route between Gibraltar and the Suez Canal. It boasts the largest shipping registry in Europe and one of the largest worldwide. The Malta Ship Registry strives for its clients to thrive in today's highly competitive market. Malta's legislation and procedures are simple and transparent, with a competitive simplified tonnage tax approved by the European Union. It maintains a strong relationship with other EU states and has established various agreements with most countries on port state control and merchant shipping. There are no restrictions on the nationality of the crew. There are double taxation avoidance treaties with over 60 countries, as well as competitive registration fees. All this while dealing with an effective, efficient, and approachable administration, backed by highly trained, experienced professionals who will guide, assist, and suggest bespoke solutions. Malta's ship registry inspires confidence. It is on the official list of low-risk ships of the Paris MOU and on its whitelist. Malta's economy and political environment are rock solid. It is attracting investors who have increasingly acknowledged Malta as a strategic base for their international activities. It is supported by a highly skilled workforce that is among the most competitive across the European Union and is also fluent in the English language. Malta is a safe place for business. The Malta Ship Registry inspires confidence.
Hi everyone, thank you for listening to Maritime Legal on Yachting International Radio. We are at Samizu at the Marina di Valletta, thanks to the Marine Quality Marinas who have allowed us to film on location here. And today I have with me Mr. Dylan D'Agostino, the Managing Director of Q Global Accounting Ltd, and is here especially to give us a bit of an insight as to compliance when it comes to yacht ownership for income tax and tax matters, but especially a special focus on VAT today. First, I'd like to hear a little bit about Dylan's work and what he does, and then we can start with a few topics which I think are relevant to our listeners. Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you, Jessica, for the introduction. So, as Jessica mentioned, I'm the Managing Director of Q Global Accounting Ltd. We do provide accounting services and we provide also taxation services, both relates to direct service, direct taxation and indirect taxation. The main area with respect to indirect taxation is, of course, the famous VAT, the value added tax. So VAT is a consumption tax and the VAT must be paid always by the end user. When it comes to VAT and the sector in the shipping and yachting industry, basically, the vessel itself, it is considered as good. So we must refer to the rules in relation to the goods, basically.
Yes.
So, and there is where we as Q Global try to help people, try to help yacht owners when it comes to purchase of yachts and also when it comes to selling of yachts. So that is one of the main areas where we try to focus and provide our consultancy services, apart from other services.
Thank you. What I realize over the years in practice is that many times a lot of owners, potential yacht owners, are afraid of VAT. And some say, once they're considering a yacht, they might say, look, having a yacht is not for me. I'd rather go for chartering and drop the idea of owning a yacht. But is it so scary to own a yacht, really and truly? At the end of the day, I think it really depends on the intention of the person and what they would like to do with that yacht. What is your experience, Dylan? Do you feel many are opting for owning a yacht to be chartered to third parties
So yes, Jessica, a lot of inquiries relates to what is going to be, what is going to happen when client is going to buy or acquire this vessel. So what is the status of the vessel? What are the intentions of clients? In this case, for example, are they going to operate it for their own use or to operate it as commercially to generate income?
Yes.
So those factors are very important because without those answers, without that feedback, we cannot provide a proper, basically, conclusion or advice.
Yes. And I think that the one of the most important things to keep in mind is that through yachting, although you can generate some income to cover running costs, ultimately profit making is not really the case when it's owning and operating a yacht, right? So it might be of benefit to an owner to, say, use the yacht for 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the year, and then charter it for the rest of the year. The beauty is VAT rules allow owners to enjoy their yachts and also charter to third parties so long as they are in compliance with VAT rules in place and applicable to them if they are operating and based in EU waters, right? Could you just give us an example as to what is the case if I, as a yacht owner, wish to own a yacht and charter it to third parties? If I make the acquisition in Malta, just as an example, and the boat is already in EU waters, but I have incorporated a Maltese company and I will be going for a charter type of yacht, but I will be using the yacht myself as the ultimate beneficial owner for 3 to 4 weeks of the year, and for the rest of the time I will be chartering it to third parties, not necessarily only in Malta, but say I might want to charter a little bit in Italy, France, Spain, Croatia. The EU is big, and there are also ports outside the EU which are attractive for charters. What is the real a common scenario? Say if we choose Malta just as an example, would VAT need to be paid upfront at time of acquisition by the owner, or is there anything that might be interesting and attractive to an owner to keep in mind, just giving Malta as a jurisdiction example?
So when it comes to these cases, you always have two options, basically. Either you pay the VAT, the 18% VAT upfront upon importation or acquisition of the yacht, or the second option, which sometimes is more feasible and beneficial to yacht owners, is that the postponement of VAT. And in that case, VAT, if the company is structured in a legal way, of course, and there are some rules to be followed, VAT can then be paid out, for example, every month or every 3 months. It depends, of course, on the necessities of the company. So in that case, yes, VAT can be postponed, the VAT payment can be postponed, and that would solve one of the problems of the yacht owners, which is, of course, the cash flow problem. So
okay,
that is one of the main advantages, rather to opt for the 18% payment upfront.
Upfront. And in that case, rather than the owner paying the VAT on the acquisition upfront, that VAT is postponed because it is deferred, it is exempt, right, on the owner's side. And then the end user of the yacht is the one who is actually making use of the yacht, consuming the, you know, because VAT is a tax on consumption. So in that case, if, say, I'm chartering my yacht in Maltese waters to third parties, I understand that right now there's a very reasonable VAT rate on charters starting in Malta at 12%. So if I am chartering my yacht to third parties, I've acquired my yacht in May of last year, for example, and I started chartering with effect from June, where am I paying the VAT? I'm not paying the VAT on the actual purchase of the yacht, but instead I am collecting VAT on the charter operations, correct? So VAT is being paid to the authority in that way, in view of the business operations of the company. Is this a common happening?
Yes, Jessica. In fact, Malta introduced a new VAT rate. Like you correctly said, the 12% rate was introduced in Malta in 2024. So basically, for charters starting from Malta, a 12% rate can be applied on these charters. In other cases, where, for example, the charter is going to start in Italy or in Greece, for example, the company must be registered in those jurisdictions where this where the charters are going to start, and so that the company will be VAT compliant in those jurisdictions, and the correct VAT rate to be charged, of course, to be eventually paid by the end users, by clients.
Yes. And I what I also want to understand is this. If I'm limited to Malta, Malta VAT rules apply. And you already mentioned this. If then I am operating in other jurisdictions, does it make things more complicated for an owner when it comes to VAT?
I wouldn't say complicated. What's the boarding thing is that they seek the tax and legal advice in those jurisdictions. So as I said, so for example, if the charters are going to take place and start from Greece, Italy, or France, or another EU country, the company must be registered there and VAT to be paid in those jurisdictions. So once the company is compliant with VAT registration, have a valid VAT number in those jurisdictions, VAT is correctly charged to the to clients, collected on behalf, of course, from clients and from the end user, and then paid to the respective jurisdiction, there are no problems.
Yes.
So the problems, of course, arise when VAT is incorrectly charged. For example, you charge a Maltese VAT rate to a charter that started in Greece, for example. That is, of course, not correct.
And where I am, the ultimate beneficial owner of a Maltese company which owns a yacht, and which owning company has the sole intention to charter the yacht to third parties. In that case, if I have benefited from the VAT postponement, it must be kept in mind that as a user of the yacht at any time, I myself would need to be chartering the yacht from my own company. If I want to use the yacht for 2-3 weeks of the year, I will enter into a charter agreement with the company, even if I am its beneficial owner, right? And I will need to be paying VAT according to the rate where I am chartering that yacht. So I've also heard about the use and enjoyment rule. People inquiring on this say, does this mean I cannot use my yacht in EU waters, or can I use the yacht in both EU and out? What is the beauty of the use and enjoyment rule, Dylan, and how does it feature when it comes to planning operations of a yacht and VAT payments? Are there any exemptions?
So yes, Jessica, this factor, this criteria of the use and enjoyment is very popular, of course, and it always has an effect on the VAT payment. Why? Because the end result, the actual VAT payment by the yacht owner to the VAT department will be considered, will be calculated on the actual use and enjoyment. Now, there are rules to be followed, there are steps to be carried out, and of course, there are documentation that must be kept by the yacht owners, by the captain, in order to confirm the itinerary of the journey, of the yacht, of the route, basically. Mm-hmm. So it is very popular. Why? Because it can decrease the VAT rate from the standard rate, basically applies to charters, to as low as it comes to, for example, your charters operating in non-EU.
Okay.
So for example, if during those 3 months, the yacht being chartered basically spent 70% in EU and 30% outside EU, the company, the yacht owner, will pay only VAT on that 70% of the time spent in EU.
Okay.
So that's a very important factor.
Yes. And going to actual payment of VAT, if say I'm an owner and I really have no intention of allowing my boat to be used by anybody else, I want to use my boat myself, and I am going to be based in EU waters, and I'm going to choose Malta as the place where I will be permanently berthed for during the year, and I want to relax and be able to enjoy the yacht wherever I am, whenever I feel like, wherever I want to. What is your recommendation in that case? Is Malta an attractive jurisdiction to keep your boat and to pay VAT on declared value of the yacht?
Yes, Malta, I believe it is, of course, an attractive country to attract these type of clients, basically. And you can have a good structure.
Yes.
It's very important that you seek advice, both legal and accounting, so that the correct structure is in place.
Yes.
In order for the yacht owner to try to make the best use of the yacht and even pay, of course, in a legal way, and the less VAT possible. Mm-hmm. Of course, when it comes to these exemptions or when it comes to what they're postponed, in this case, for example, postpone it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would consider it, yes, very feasible.
So with Malta's VAT rate being at 18% at the moment, an owner could choose to pay VAT upfront at 18% on the declared value, or there's also the option of entering into an operational lease, right? And with through an operational lease, you can put into effect also the use and enjoyment principle, where VAT will be calculated according to the actual use and enjoyment of the boat by the lessee under that operational lease in EU waters and out. So,
correct. For example, when it comes to operational leases, what happens is, of course, the yacht owner will need to pay, of course, the VAT on the lease installments.
Yes.
But following that period, those 3 months, for example, the yacht owner or the VAT representative can collect proof that the yacht was actually outside EU, such proof.
Like, with logs and logs, AIS example, data, charter,
charter itineraries. So it's very important. You must have proof, hard copies, not estimates.
Yes.
Why? Because at the end of the day, the VAT department, if they are going to assess you, it's you as yacht owner that you need to prove yourself that the yacht was actually outside EU.
Mm-hmm.
And with such documentation, you can prove, you can defend yourself, and you can, of course, pay VAT on the actual number of days, time,
spent in EU. In Malta, how does the filing of VAT returns work? Is it easy to get a VAT number? How soon do you recommend that if you decide as an owner to opt for a commercial operation, how soon do you need to start planning your VAT registrations, compliance in different jurisdictions? Taking Malta as an example, is the system slow? What are your views, please?
So, in my opinion, I would say we have a very good system. The VAT department are very efficient. We have a very good efficient administration. A VAT number can be obtained in 3-4 working days, basically, upon, of course, receipt of correct documentation. So we try to obtain, for example, ourselves as a VAT representative in Malta, we try to obtain the correct documentation, the correct information, so that when we file the VAT registration, the VAT department might come back to us and ask some questions, but in that case, we would be prepared.
Okay.
So in that case, yes, a VAT number can be obtained in less than 5 working days.
Great. And what about submission of VAT returns? Does it have to be done manually, or can it be filed electronically as a VAT return?
Submissions of VAT returns. So these needs to be done electronically.
Yes.
So the system changed. Yes, a couple of years ago, no manual VAT declarations are allowed.
All
so
right.
Declarations must be prepared and submitted electronically.
All right. And if I'm an owner sailing in EU and I'm inspected by any authority where they have a right to check my books, is it easy to present to them these electronic VAT returns submitted to the Maltese authorities and to show VAT has been collected on my charters, depending, say, if it is for Malta, you can show, right, the payment of VAT. I wish owners to understand that VAT is not so as scary as they think it is, and they should really consider enjoying their boat in as many jurisdictions as possible. But what is key, besides a clear intention on the part of owner and reliable advisors, I think it's to be organized, no?
To be organized, to keep the proper and correct information.
Yes.
Like we explained, basically. So if you are going to go for the use and enjoyment, basically,
yes,
you have to keep proper logs, proper documentation.
Yes.
Otherwise, at the end of the day, the yacht owner is going to pay, of course, the yacht owner is going to charge the VAT to the end customer, basically. But that all goes about keeping supporting documentation to prove yourself, so that if you have an inspection or if you are requested in one way or another by the tax department, tax authorities, you can be you can have everything credibly available in order to support your judgment.
Yes.
Important, no estimates. So the tax department are not going to base their judgment or their final assessment on your estimates. So we have to have proper documentation again and hard materials.
Thank you, Dylan. So really and truly, in summary, what I think we really need to get across is VAT is not as scary as it seems to yacht owners. What is important is that their intentions are clear, right? And they would know what they wish to use the boat for. There's also the benefit of doing a bit of both, enjoying the boat for private use and for charter, as long as the correct rules in place in the jurisdiction where the boat is going to be based and sailing are respected and complied with, right? I think good communication is key. So if it's the owner or the manager they are engaging or the captain who is who you are in touch with most times, to have organized invoicing and to have support, the support that they need, because sometimes a captain cannot handle everything themselves. Exactly. They are responsible for the safe navigation of the yacht and the carriage of passengers. So I think I've also seen through experience, it is captains and owners working hand in hand with advisors like you and similarly fiscal representatives in different jurisdictions to ensure organization and good communication. So for you to enjoy your boat as in as, with as much peace of mind as you possible, so that you can enjoy your sailing and not be worried that you might not have certain documents which you might need to present at any point in time.
Or you, so, you lose your status, or you are required to pay VAT, for example, because you were, for example, in a scheme or something, and then you didn't abide by the rules and you
compliant,
have to pay.
Yes, it's so important.
So this is very important.
Yes, and look, today we outlined in a very brief manner a bit of compliance in simple terms, but of course, I appreciate that there's certain detail with and requirements which need to be abided by. And of course, listeners are free to get in touch with you with any specific questions they have, because each case depends on the facts at hand and the intention of the owners, right?
Very
and
important.
The parties. So thank you very much, Dylan, for your time today. I'm really grateful and look forward to collaborating with you for future structures and the support you give to clients from a Maltese side. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you.
Thank you once again to the Marina di Valletta and the lovely San Mizu restaurant where we are sitting today on this quite a gloomy day, I would say, but we stayed inside today because of the wind, but it's actually calming down, which is great. Thank you also to our supporting entities like Transport Malta and especially Yachting International Radio and you listeners who make this possible. Thank you so much and see you for the next one.